You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. Seems like I've been posting about a show a month since the beginning of the year. I posted one back in January. I posted one in February and one in March. So April's here, and it felt like a good time to do a show. Things are still pretty busy for me. My baby girl, she's running the hills, just climbing the mountains like a little mountain goat. She loves throwing rocks in the pond, blowing dandelion seeds, and chasing bubbles from her array of automatic bubble machines. We've got her a bubble gun and a bubble leaf blower, and we had a bubble wand. That one didn't work out so well, but she loves chasing bubbles, and it's just it's great fun being a dad. And I'm really, really loving it. And it does keep me busy. As far as the homestead, I've been able to square away most of the big projects around the property. I've got a huge list of things that I want to do, but at least the homestead's functional right now. So since things aren't quite as hectic, I'm going to try to get back to producing a regular podcast. I don't think it's going to go back to being a weekly show, at least not at this point. Maybe after my daughter gets married, maybe then I'll have a little bit more time and I can go back to doing a weekly show. Hopefully that's a long way off, but who knows? You never know what God has planned. And, it could be that I get more time freed up and, I'm able to go back to doing two shows a month or who knows, but for now, we're going to get back to doing a regular podcast, and I'm going to try to get one out a month, and we'll go from there. And as I've stated before, my internet connection, it's not the greatest. So most of the shows that we're going to be doing is going to be just me and you. It'll just be a little one-on-one with us. And then when I get back to a place where I have more bandwidth, I'll try to get some good guests lined up for that and maybe have a few shows in the bag. But for now, they're going to be mostly just me talking to you. So one more piece of personal news that I have, and then I'll get on with today's show. Next weekend is the Heritage Life Skills Conference in Waynesville, North Carolina. I'm planning to be there on Saturday. I'm going to try to be there from at least noon till 3 p.m. So if you're going to be there, stop by the author tables and look for my books on the tables if you're trying to find me. That's probably going to be the best way to locate me. Kevin Pierce, he's also going to be there. And lots of other post-apocalyptic and prepper fiction authors. I don't have all the names, but I do know that Jeff Motes is going to be there. Jeff wrote the Once Upon an Apocalypse series, and he's been on the show before, so you may remember him from a couple of years back when he was on the Prepper Recon podcast. On a quick side note, especially for the Kevin Pierce fans out there, Kevin will be producing my next audiobook series. Just in case you're wondering what the topic of that's going to be, it's going to be about the coming currency collapse in America. I loved writing the Economic Collapse Chronicles and always seemed to fit sort of a economic crisis or financial type scenario into most everything else that I write. You know, whether it's an EMP or the end times or whatever, I've always got that economic aspect to the story. Because that is something that fascinates me so much and that I love studying, love reading about, and learning about. So naturally, it's always going to show up in my work. So it feels like time to revisit that theme, although it will be coming from a completely different angle. So if you liked the Economic Collapse Chronicles, you're really, really going to love this new series. I feel like I've grown so much as a writer since I wrote the Economic Collapse Chronicles, and I feel like there's so many new things to cover from the financial landscape when it comes to the impending economic collapse. And while we're on that topic of new books and things, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what mega disasters you'd most like to read about from me. If you've got something in mind, email it to me. It's prepperrecon@gmail.com. And, you know, yours might not get picked, but, you know, if I've got 10 people saying, hey, we want more EMP stuff, you know, maybe I'll write another EMP series. Probably not, because there's so many people writing EMP stuff. And it seems like everybody that writes it, they, you know, people just eat it up. They love it. And it's one of the big ones. You know, it's one of the things that's most, that it's most catastrophic, because that's kind of a end game type scenario there, that everything's going to change overnight in a split second. And it's one of those things that you've either done your prepping before the EMP happens, or you're not going to do it at all, because that's it. Everything changes instantly in an EMP. Unlike an economic collapse, you know, that's something that could take, you know, weeks, months, or years to completely melt down to the bottom. I usually go to the weeks and months for the fiction, because if it takes years, that could be kind of laborsome reading. And I know you like a good story and something that's kind of fast paced and not the proverbial pot boiler. So try to keep it fast paced for you. Also, for next month's podcast for May, I'd love to hear some listener questions. And also, you can email those to prepperrecon@gmail.com. If you're on Facebook, I'm probably going to post a little something on there on the Mark Goodwin page or the Prepper Recon page, you know, asking, soliciting ideas for questions for May's podcast. And if I read your question on the podcast, you'll win an Audible code for a free audiobook. So for folks who are already Audible members, they can use those. And if you're not an Audible subscriber, you can sign up for a free trial for Audible. You'll get a free book for signing up for the free trial, and then you could potentially win another free book, which you will win if I read your question on the air. So don't worry about OPSEC either. You know, I'm not going to give your full name on the show if I read your question. You know, if I'll probably give first name and last initial, something like that. Or if you have some type of a handle that you go by for operational security, I could read that handle instead. Heritage Life Skills, that's one of the few preparedness conferences that's still going strong. Lots of shows have shut down. I think that probably the primary reason that we're seeing so few prepper shows now, or the conferences that are able to stay strong, I think it's Trumpphobia. It's just that he's a better man at the helm than Hillary would have been. Certainly, we're seeing good job numbers. There's some good things about Trump. Certainly, you know, even if you don't like him, you have to admit that he's way better than Hillary would have been. You know, I don't know anybody, you know, if you have to choose between cancer and the flu, I don't know anybody that would take cancer over the flu. You know, anybody that's had to deal with that, had to deal with cancer, would certainly tell you, hey, I'd much rather have had the flu that I could have just been in bed for a week and got over. Sometimes you do have to pick between the lesser evil. And but I certainly think that Trump, whether you like him or not, he's certainly at least the lesser evil. But I think that he's given people sort of a false sense of security in regards to preparedness. And the industry as a whole is just not as viable as it used to be. Certainly in the years, you know, when everybody thought Hillary was going to be elected, or the Shemitah, which, you know, I got a little caught up in that. It really, from everything that I was reading about it, all Jonathan Kahn's work and Mark Bildt's work and everything, it looked very, very likely that, you know, we could, that the Shemitah could have been some type of a cyclical downturn like that. And, you know, didn't turn out to be quite as bad as what we thought it was going to be. And I think that a lot of people did a big spend prior to the the election and also prior to Shmita. And I think that a lot of people got a lot of the stuff that they needed and some things squared away. But whatever it is, you know, you're always looking to try to get to that next level of preparedness. You know, you're never 100% self-sufficient. Or at least if you're not, then you're not 100% prepared. So we're always looking to try to get a little bit better. And that doesn't mean that you have to spend a whole lot of money. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do that don't require spending a lot of money. But we don't want to get complacent, and we don't want to take our eye off the ball because, you know, Trump is just a man, and we are on a very, very bad economic path. And we still have every other threat out there that we have to stay ready for. EMP, that's not something that Trump's been able to protect us against. You know, our grid's still vulnerable. We're still vulnerable to mass pandemics and earthquakes and possible Yellowstone caldera event. And so it's every year we have really, really bad storms, hurricanes and snowstorms and every other kind of thing that we have to always make sure that we're prepared for and that we're ready for. Some of the classes that they're going to be offering at the Heritage Life Skills, they're going to have a class on self-defense, which I'm going to be doing a show in the very near future on martial arts and self-defense and that type of thing. They'll also have classes on beekeeping, wood stoves, off-grid power systems, canning, ham radio, raising rabbits, medicinal plants, earning income from your retreat property, grid-down refrigeration, gardening, soap making, and just tons of other topics. And it's one of the few conferences that really focuses on education. And I think that's why Bill and Jan from Carolina Readiness in Waynesville have been able to keep it going even when the rest of the industry is suffering so badly. And one of the main topics of today's show is going to be the Venezuelan economic collapse and how America is really just following in their footsteps. If you've been following this nightmare of the Venezuelan economic collapse, it just goes to show how impossible it is to get things back on track once an economy is derailed like this. Last month marked the 10-year anniversary for the lows of the 2009 crisis. It was the March of 2009 that was the market lows, and ever since markets have been steaming straight up with few minor hiccups, and a lot of people are looking at the markets right now and thinking that they're a little frothy or that we could be setting up for another downturn or at least a good 20% correction. So certainly if you're in the markets, which I'm not, it's a good time to be watching that. And, you know, maybe I've missed out on some gains for the past 10 years that it's, you know, I guess about more than tripled since the March 2009 lows. It's more than tripled since then. But, you know, for every dollar I've missed out on, that's a good night's sleep that I haven't missed out on because I just don't – I'm not the type of person that can take all of that up and down and not have it affect my psyche. And I just feel much more comfortable and I sleep much better at night, having taking my money and paying down debt and trying to be responsible and saving and doing things like that rather than being involved with the markets. So during the 2009 crisis, the government and the Fed, they pulled out all the stops. They dropped interest rates to as low as they can go and nearly doubled the money supply. It's all that excess currency, which I believe has been fueling the stock market for the last 10 years. And most of you noticed also what it's doing to your grocery bills. Some items are higher priced. Others have less product, even if the container is the same size. And still others are using cheaper ingredients. all of that, that's all inflation, regardless of how well hidden it is. Rates have never recovered to what's considered normal. So in the next crisis, the interest rate tool, that's not going to be there for them. That means the powers that be, they only have one bullet in the proverbial gun, and that's monetary creation. And, of course, that always leads to inflation in one manner, one form or another. It shows up as inflation. One of the unintended consequences of low rates is that retirees and pension funds have to constantly chase yields through risky assets. And this is likely to be the catalyst to the next crisis. We're already seeing states like California and Kentucky hitting big pension shortfalls. So you can bet that a federal bailout's on the way. When you hear the word bailout, you can just go ahead and translate that into monetary creation and inflation, because the only way they can pay for the bailout is to print more money. And at some point, this whole thing is going to reach critical mass, and we're going to have a hyperinflationary collapse, just like every other country who has tried to print their way out of debt and deficit. The Weimar Republic in Germany, after World War I, they tried it. Russia in the 90s, Argentina in 2001, and Venezuela. We've seen what's happened to Venezuela. Their currency is just absolutely worthless. They have an official exchange rate, you know, that the government says the bolivar is worth this many dollars. But in, you know, if you get into what the black market rate is for a bolivar for U.S. dollars, it's off the charts, and it's nothing close to as valuable as what the Maduro administration would like to think it is. And our ability to get to forget bad memories and remember good ones, that might be great for emotional health, but it can be absolutely catastrophic for our survival. And we have to remember these lessons from history about what happens when you spend more money than you have, when you continue to have deficit spending, taking on more responsibilities in the future than income you're going to have in the future, and try to just print it all away by creating fiat currency out of nothing. And it always ends the same way. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're doing right now. And it's going to end exactly the same way it's ended in every other country all throughout history and all throughout time. And the root cause of the Venezuelan crisis, that's deficit spending. Theirs has primarily been on social programs. And if that sounds familiar to you, it should, because we're doing exactly the same thing. Depending on who you ask, the U.S. currently spends $2 to $3 trillion on social programs. I know $1 trillion is rather a large margin of error, but that just goes to show how hard it is to get a straight answer. And that's not all welfare queens working the system. Much of that's Social Security and Medicaid programs that most of you have paid into your entire life, and you deserve to get a return on your coerced investments. Unfortunately, the money's not there. If we'd had a choice between giving our money to Bernie Madoff or the federal government, it probably would have been actually safer with Bernie. But unlike the Bernster, the federal government has a license to counterfeit. So while it may not be worth the paper it's printed on at some point, we can rest easy that America's never going to run out of money. And if you give them a dollar, they can always just print one and give you another one. The problem is it's not going to be as valuable as the dollar you gave them 30 years ago. And you're not going to get it back inflation protected. It's going to come back just as another, you know, face value $1 that now buys you a third of what it would have bought you back when you gave it to them. We spend another $1 trillion annually on defense. Technically, it's $686 billion. But when you add in the various surveillance agencies and black box projects, it's closer to an even trillion. And I'm not here to argue the merits of interventionism today, but I will point out that we spend more than the next 8 top spending countries in the world. And that includes China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, India, France, UK, Japan, and Germany. You add all those together, and that's still less than what we spend on defense. Yes, security is important, and defense spending is nowhere near as much as what we spend on social programs. But when we finally reach the cliff, and we will reach that cliff, our downfall is going to come from within. And it's going to be the same story here that it has been in every other communist revolution. The masses will be angry, and Marxist opportunists will blame capitalism for the collapse. Then we'll get some leader that looks a lot like Chavez or Maduro, and we'll understand that Iran, Russia, and China, they weren't our biggest threat. It was inside. That's where we should have been having our focus, and we should have been minding our money and keeping our economy on track so that we couldn't have our republic hijacked by Marxists, which is exactly, I mean, that's what we're living in right now. We've got some, some leftover of the great capitalist society that we had prior to FDR. And how did he get into power? Well, because we couldn't manage our finances right. Stock market collapse. The the Great Depression. He came in and rode in as the knight on the white horse to save us from the evils of capitalism. And we've never been the same since. So that's how that happens. And I hope we can make it to the 2020 election before the wheels completely fall off. I'd much rather see Trump at the helm than Sanders or many of these other people that we're seeing right now. Some of these festering boils we see rising to the top of the far left cesspool are frightening. And I'm sure I'm going to be doing a show on that as we get closer to the Democratic primaries. Mayor Pete, I think he's one of the strangest among them. Although a scripture quoting sodomite that supports murdering American citizens up through the third trimester may represent a better cross section of America than I'm giving him credit for. So the point is, Chavez was elected. All the evils you're seeing play out in Venezuela right now, blackouts, no food in the stores, no running water, rampant crime, cities with decayed billboards, rows of shops chained shut, literally scenes from The Walking Dead. The people there, they chose these things. They voted to put Chavez in power. Chavez passed the baton to Maduro, and while it may not still be a majority, people still support Maduro. And don't think AOC doesn't have her eye on 2024. The chasm between the left and the right, it's just getting wider and wider. Drudge, they regularly post cable news show rankings. And at the highest are the ultra-conservative shows like Tucker Carlson. He's always at or near the top on the cable news shows rankings. Next, after the most conservative talk shows, news shows like Tucker's, are the card-carrying communists like Rachel Maddow. They're next on the list. And then anybody that's trying to sit on the left-leaning, although it may be, people that are trying to ride the middle of the fence, the left-leaning fence, those people are the ones that end up way, way down at the bottom in the show rankings. And, it was not so long ago that folks could have civil conversations with people from the other side of the aisle. Today, we think of it like the plague when it comes to talking about politics with people who don't share views. And, in reality, what can you say to someone who rejects history, statistics, common sense? It's like arguing with a bucket of rocks. So why waste your breath? What you can do is make sure that your children are educated. Keep them away from the public indoctrination systems. Take responsibility for their economic and their spiritual learning yourself. You had these kids, bring them up, train them up in the way that they should go. Teach them history, teach them economics, teach them the Bible, and even if you get it wrong, at least you tried. Rather than just farming it out to someone else that does not believe things that the way you believe them. But to close, it's coming. The next market meltdown will bankrupt the pension funds, leave retirees poverty-stricken. And like I said, you can bet there will be a bailout on the other side. There always is. But the cure is so often worse than the disease. With the bailouts will come the inevitable inflation, which robs savers and disenfranchises the working class. It's these disenfranchised masses that are so easily duped into believing that it was capitalism which failed them. All the while, it was socialism and crony capitalism which robbed them blind, forced them to work twice as hard for half as much, and left them for dead. Look it up in your economic history books. We never had inflation before FDR, the patron god of socialist America. And since he was elected, we've never been a capitalist society since. What we call capitalism is just some faded memory, some watered-down monetary potion that bears no resemblance to the real thing. So, what can you do to be prepared? Number one, pay off your debt. Before you buy another bag of long-term storage food, another ounce of gold, or another case of ammunition, get on a budget. Eliminate your debt. And I'm talking about every kind of debt, particularly, you know, credit card debt, car loan debt. Get that stuff paid off. But I'm also talking about your mortgage. You know, if you only make minimum payments on a 30-year loan at 5%, you'll pay roughly double the sale price for your home. A few extra payments every year can make a huge difference. But at any rate, get your house paid off. If you're struggling with debt, I highly recommend Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace course. It's the best money you'll ever spend. However, I stop at his debt management advice. I don't really agree with his views on stocks and investing, and that's a pretty long, drawn-out conversation about why. If that's something that folks want to know why, and you know, maybe that could be something that we could do a topic for another show or a reader mailbag question. So once you're on track with that mission, then keep some portion of your money outside of the banking system. Not all of it. No matter where you put your money, it's at risk. Even in a safe in your bedroom, a burglar can take the safe out of the house, worry about getting it open later, or you can have a home invasion. If a burglar has a gun to your child's head, you'll open that safe. So the safest money is the cash that nobody knows about. You know, so think about, you know, maybe a cash underground PVC pipe, something like that, where nobody knows it's there. It's just a patch of grass in the backyard, but just don't forget where it is. Make sure your wife or sister or brother or somebody knows where it is, so that if something happens to you, it's not just a secret stash for the worms. Beyond that, beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. If you still don't have a copy of my 7-step survival plan, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the free PDF banner just under the big red Prepper Recon title banner. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and don't forget to send in those questions for next month's show. Once again, you can send those questions to PrepperRecon@gmail.com. If you're going to be in the Waynesville area for Heritage Life Skills next weekend, which will be, I believe, April 13th will be the Saturday. I'll be there hopefully a little earlier than 12 o'clock, probably around 11. But I'll definitely be there at least from 12 to 3, hopefully a little bit more like 11 to 4. We'll just kind of see how the day goes and look for my books on the table. I'll be there. Look forward to meeting you if you are going to be there. God bless and happy prepping.